This week on the Ocean Cruisers podcast, I'm having a chat with Steph and Travis from the YouTube sailing channel Sailing Gypsy. Steph and Travis are both from Canada and they started the sailing journey only a few years back. They bought a 1990 Hunter 42 Passage in Canada and they've since sailed it down to the Caribbean. They then decided to cross the Atlantic Ocean and do some Northern European sailing before heading down to the Mediterranean. They're now cruising around the Balearics and the Italian islands, waiting to head back over to the Caribbean in the winter. You can follow them on their YouTube channel, which is called Sailing Gypsy. And if you want to check out some of our videos on the boat refit, which we've now completed, check out some of the other refit videos in this channel under Sailing Voyager. But for now, here is the podcast with Steph and Travis. What jobs did you do before you started doing this?
I was a stripper. No, I'm just kidding.
Could have guessed. That's how you got the pole on the boat, yeah?
I ran a distribution company for an artificial grass company.
Interesting.
And then I also had an installation company for artificial turf. So we specialized in like residential backyards. And what I did that and started it in Vancouver and then made my way over to the East Coast, Toronto. And then that's where I met her.
Yeah, I was working downtown Toronto for the government, for the compensation board. Just the Monday to Friday sort of 9 to 5 sort of thing. Did that ever since I graduated school. Totally didn't think that this was where my life was going to be. I thought I was going to be in that job until I retired. It was like a golden handcuffs sort of deal. And that's what I thought I was going to be.
So she met the West Coast. Let's go explore.
The West Coast stripper. Yeah.
He was like, we're complete opposites. He's Vancouver, chill, just came to Toronto for work. And I grew up in Toronto City, go, go, go sort of person, much more, I guess, structured planning, that sort of thing. And then, yeah.
West Coast and East Coast in North America is totally different vibe.
Yeah,
I
drove across there. I started in Quebec, I think, the French part.
Yeah.
So we started there and then we drove all the way across. Yeah, Vancouver's like my favorite place in Toronto. Canada, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's wrong. So I'm from Vancouver. And it's just mountains. It's beautiful. You can do a million different outdoor activities in a single day. You know, like I'd go biking in the morning, snowboarding in the evening, and then go for like a camping hike and then go, find some lake.
And it's funny because he always made fun of me for being a Toronto city girl.
Yeah.
I didn't like the outdoors. I didn't like camping. It was, controlled climate, city life sort of thing.
Well, I made fun of her. I was like, you're what? How old am I? 33?
You might be another 29 or something.
29? 31. I can't remember when we went on that hike. She never went to pee in the bush before, so she met me.
I also didn't think I liked hiking because Toronto doesn't have any hiking. We had trails. So I went for walks.
Yeah,
and I didn't think it was that much fun until I went to BC and absolutely loved it there. So I would have to agree that Vancouver or BC is the prettiest part of Canada.
Yeah, definitely. So, right. So basically, Travis, like you obviously won the competition because now you're doing a complete outdoors type of life.
that's
kind of the way it went.
Loving it.
So what made you want to start doing this? Because like even living in Vancouver, if you're doing outdoor stuff, is nothing like sailing around the world on a boat.
Well, I travel a lot. Like I used to be a pro BMXer.
Oh, okay, cool.
Like the little kids bikes. And so I used to travel a lot all over the world. And I'd go for, a month, 2 months, and I'd ride my bike and film and just have a good time. And then as that kind of faded a bit out of the sort of the progression side, I knew I needed to actually make some money because there was no real money in it for me. It was
just getting older?
Yeah, getting older. My body, couldn't keep up with all the little kids that were just killing it. Just realized, I probably should, get a job, make some actual money. And then once I started doing that, I just kind of knew I wanted like some insane life adventure again and where it would totally change my life.
And when he met me, he was totally not interested because I was I have a job and I'm going to save all my money and buy this house with the white picket fence.
Yeah, the checkbox sort of.
That sort of thing. So he's like, okay, she's boring. That's not my cup of tea. But then I got injured. And I was off work for a really long time. And by that point, I was already not liking my job anymore. I got just did not like dealing with what I had to deal with at work every single day, because people complaining a lot. So I was just sick of it. I wanted a change. I had traveled some time as well, and I just wanted a big adventure. So it was either go back to a job that I did not enjoy or make a big life change at that point. And one of the things that I was contemplating was moving to DC. I just wanted to move somewhere a lot prettier. And then there was like a summer that he had decided, you know what, let's go and try to find something to do in Ontario in the summer, which was kind of hard to do.
And well, I was trying to get her into, like, I got really into kayak camping. But I only had a single. I was like, well, I got to get a double. And, like, I was going to go buy this. It was, like, $1,200 for this double kayak. And I'm searching on the web. And I come across this used sailboat for $1,200. I was like, what? You can buy a boat? You can buy a sailboat for $1,200? So I started looking at sailboats. I'm like, that's actually a good deal. And I literally just went and drove out and picked this thing up in the middle of winter. It was on a trailer. It had no brakes. The tires were flat. Had no lights, like, on this crappy old trailer. And I just jimmy-rigged it to get it 3 hours back to my warehouse. And then it kind of just started from there.
Like, yeah, because I had started to really enjoy nature at that point, too. Hanging out with him, we had gone for a lot more hikes, checking out waterfalls, wherever we could in Ontario. And then he said, okay, well, this summer we're going to fix up this little 22-foot sailboat, and I'm going to make it really cute, and we're going to learn how to take it up on the lake, because it'll be so much more fun than a kayak. It'll be like camping on the water. So we did that. Picked it up for a handful, maybe, of long weekends, and it took us forever to set this thing up. We had no idea what we were doing, and looking back, I didn't even know we had an anchor on that thing. Like, it just, we knew nothing, right? Totally oblivious. And the way we checked weather was,
Is it sunny? Or rainy?
Okay, let's go up to this really remote spot.
No, like, literally, like, I didn't know there was, like, wind forecasts and stuff. And, like, I just looked at the basic weather forecast. I said, is that sunny? Okay, we should be okay. And then most of the time, we would just motor the thing, like, just to get it to some little spot. Literally, I think the first summer, I went out like 2 or 3 times, because it was just such a pain in the ass to set it up and get it up to the lake that we wanted to go to. And the next summer, I think maybe not even 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
But so didn't really have a grasp of sailing, but it definitely sparked like this, you know, massive interest. And then obviously the sailing YouTube channels, I started watching sailing YouTube, and I'm like, what? There's people, like, young people doing this? That's insane. How are they doing this?
And I had really wanted to travel too, so when he introduced me to watching YouTube videos with sailing, I was like, well, I really like our time on the water that we've had on this little boat, and I really want to travel, so maybe this could be a thing, but I don't know. So we kind of just tossed it up. We didn't really know if we were serious about it, because it was this huge 180 that we were going to be doing with our life. And he had said to me, like, I don't know, Stephanie, like, do you think you're going to be fit for being on the water 24/7? And we were out on this boat in the middle of Lake Huron. And the Great Lakes are huge. They pretty much look like an ocean if you look out one side, right? So he said, look out there, and this is all you're going to be surrounded by. Picture that on both sides. You're not going to see land. Do you think you could do this, or does this sort of thing freak you out? Because some people would freak out, knowing that there's no land in sight. And I was like, no, I really like this. I don't want the weekend to be over. I wish this was every day. And then I think once that switch kind of flipped, it was like, okay, we'll actually make this a plan, and we're going to do it.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So it just took a
That's cool that it started out as like a kayak trip, but it ended up in you like wanting to
buy a sailboat. Completely changed our entire life.
Nobody believed me, at least, because growing up with that were brought up the same way that I was, it was not even a thing. Like, the ocean, we don't have an ocean connected to us where I'm from, and it was just far out idea. And then,
well, you get a lot of people going, "Oh, the ocean's not what you think." And I'm like, I know it's not. I know it's not. And then you just get all these people saying, "Oh yeah, you know, you'll never make that happen." And there are all these people on the dock. But I guess we're backing up a little bit, is watching YouTubers got us really interested. Like, holy shit, maybe we can make this happen. Like, yep. Oh man, we're healing. Yep. We're gotta be like 5-10 degrees right now with the wind gust.
No, it's same here as well, mate. But like, it looks still because I'm on a camera, but like the boat is like tipping all over the place. It's probably why? Worth explaining actually to people who are listening.
Yeah, why is
we're both in Sardinia and there's like 40 knot gusts like piling through these anchorages at the moment.
Yeah, we should have pendulum or something here. You just see the boat. Because seriously,
just one of those old school like marine lights, you know, that you see some people the candlelight that keep them in. Be a bit of a hazard at the moment.
Yeah, it'd probably knock one of us. But yeah, so we have like.
Yeah, so I was just saying, so where did it go from there? So, like, you know, you're on the lake and you had a nice time on this little, you know, $1,200 boat. But like, how did you then figure it out and, like, put a plan in place to, like, take it to the next step and doing what you're doing now? Was there another boat after that or did you just get the one that you're on now?
So, I guess backing up to when I said that I kind of wanted this big change, the second summer that we had this little boat, I only went on it maybe one time because I had broken my ankle pretty badly. And when I was off work for a while, I said, well, I'm not going back. So are you really serious about this plan? I don't like that job, but if we're not going to make a 180 here, like I really need to know because I got to do something. So he said, okay, this is actually going to be our plan. Let's devise something. So he said, okay, we need to save as much money as we can to make this happen because we didn't want it to be a 5-10 year plan. We wanted it now because we're both pretty instant gratification sort of people. So we wanted to do whatever it took to make it happen in, it was 18 months, I think it was.
Yeah, because you can't get a boat out of the lakes any later than September. Because if you go up to like Nova Scotia, it just gets way too cold by the time you get there and it's like treacherous waters. So your only option is going out a canal system way that takes you to New York City. And the canals close mid-October. So, like, and it takes a few weeks to get through. So, like, I kind of had knew that, okay, if we're going to start this now and we do it for, like, literally we'd have 18 months. Like, that's our date to leave. Like, so what can we save and how do we find a boat? That's if we found a boat in Toronto. But we actually were looking at boats. Everywhere.
He was like, we're going to pack up. We're going to go fly somewhere to Croatia. I think he said Croatia.
Well, the Med, I was like, oh, it's a lot much cheaper in the Med because, you know, charter boats and you can find a really good deal. So I started looking like crazy there. Started looking crazy in Caribbean as well because you'll find charter boats in the Caribbean, but you also find a lot of like cruiser boats because they Caribbean for a couple of years and they're done. So like, anyways, that's where we're looking. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not even going to look on the lakes because who's going to have a cruising boat on the lake?
So in the meantime, we said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We need to make money, as much money as we can. And we both have very, very good jobs. So we said, okay, well, keep doing what we're doing because it's the only way that we're going to make as much money as, I guess, as possible. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to go back to work if for sure we're doing this. So we said, okay, we're going to bust our ass for the year and a bit. And then in the meantime, we had lived 5 minutes down the road from a marina. And we would go there every single weekend to just take it in, look at boats, and kind of just, you know, dream.
Yeah.
And
get a coffee and just walk around the marinas and dream.
So he wasn't looking on the lakes for boats, nor was he looking at hunter boats. So those two things were completely off the table until he just randomly saw hunter.
You know, the more you read and everything, I started talking to people too, and they're like, just go on every boat because we didn't have a single idea of what, you know, we had an idea of what a 20-foot boat felt like, but it's not a comfortable, liveaboard sort of boat that we would want to be on. So we're like, what does a 30 to 40 plus foot boat feel like? We had no idea. So it said, just get on every boat you can possibly get on to get an idea.
So we went to the Annapolis Boat Show as well and literally tried or got on every single boat that they had on display there to get the feel. And then he continuously started to scour the listings. And then he came across our boat that we have at the marina, literally a 2-minute drive down from where we lived.
Oh, no way. Oh, all right. That's convenient. It's like the $1,200 kayak. It's just 100%.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't want to look at it because it's not what I'm looking for. Not knowing why it's not what I'm looking for.
preconceived notions, I guess.
Just like, yeah, like preconceived notions, exactly. So I was like, whatever, let's just go check it out and feel it out and everything. And then walked on it, and it just kind of said, this is the boat.
Well, what were you looking for? Like, so you, I mean, you've ended up with that. That's a great boat for living on. Like, were you looking for like an ocean crossing boat or something?
Yeah, if you don't know boats, I didn't understand. Like, I didn't do enough research yet at the time of like what made an ocean boat, what made like just different build qualities of like how their boats are built. And you like, I guess I was on the wrong forums of people saying, "Oh, production boats, like, you don't want to take them on the ocean, all this stuff." Yeah, and I'm like, so I guess the guys I'm talking to are reading here, like, you know, in their 80s, thinking you got to buy this big, heavy-ass boat that's going to go 4.5 knots. And, you know, the sea kindness of it is going to be great. But that's about it. I'm like, and then you start reading and going, oh, man, there's production boats all over the world. That's most ocean crossing boats are production boats. So I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I don't exclude all these other great boats. And
we didn't think that we would find a cruising boat in the lakes so close to home because, you know, they're lake boats. Most people have boats for the cottages and the lakes. But this particular boat had everything in terms of equipment, new equipment that was being outfitted.
They get really lucky with the guy that was building this boat. He was setting it up to go live off the grid and do the same sort of adventure. But unfortunate health reasons with his wife made them have to sell. So it was like kind of a meant to be thing for us, and it just felt right. So we ended up with this boat.
And then because we only lived a few minutes down the road, we decided to, it was time to either haul out the boat for winter or have it kept in the water and, you know, paying for two places. Well, technically we could have lived on this because this was going to be our home. So we decided to get out of the condo, move everything on board and learn over the winter and just
like
literally
the
from the ground
like,
up. Cause we knew nothing.
So that was in the lakes still.
It was just sitting on a dock and the winter came and it gets to like minus 40 in Ontario.
I was going to say, yeah, like that's, and hunters aren't incredibly well insulated neither. So that must've been pretty cold.
you had to build like a whole,
like a tent around it or something.
Like you shrink wrap, you build this frame and then you shrink wrap and it acts like it's crazy. It'd be like minus 20, but sunny and you'd sit outside and it would be like plus 10.
No
just
way.
That
it
sun
worked well.
Like, yeah, it was ridiculous. It was cool. And Toronto's pretty dry, cool. So you didn't get that. Like, the humidity wasn't a big thing like it was for us in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah, we know about that. Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, I mean, like, there's a number of, like, when you get a sign, when a boat pops up and it's like 5 minutes away from where you live and it ticks enough boxes, I think that's like a good enough reason to.
Yeah, literally, yeah. It just ticked all the boxes, like literally every box, which is pretty crazy. Obviously, well, it didn't pick my, I wanted a 50 plus foot box, but you know.
It was good enough.
It ticked every other box, so it just felt right, so we bought it. And then her and I, to actually make this happen, was putting a date on like when, because now we knew, kind of backing up a little bit, now we knew like we had to get out of the lakes at a certain time, and that was 18 months. So, is that time frame right?
Yeah, it was 18 months from
We started saving, I think.
No, that's right, because we bought the boat. And
sorry,
we
I'm trying to backdate times here.
We stayed on board for about 9 months, and then it was
what we're trying to say is when we decided to make this plan happen, that's like when we changed our lives like completely to start saving for it. Like we lived on less than $2,000 a month between the both of us. Just like
we just saved, and any money that was spent was put into the boat, and we were just siphoning it all away. We were the cheapest people you would have
my friends
ever met.
Yeah.
Hey,
man,
getting ready for the cruising life.
Nope. Yeah, exactly.
But it did get easier because there was lockdown that happened as well in Canada. So we couldn't spend money anyway. And then we were working from home. So there was no commuting and all these expenses.
Well, for you.
We're just going straight into our savings, and then it really helped us prepare. But on the flip side, it made it kind of nerve-wracking for us to leave because there were lockdowns still when the locks out of the lakes were closing. So we didn't know if we were going to be able to get through or not. But because we didn't want to wait another year, essentially, if we didn't make it for those that deadline, we just said, screw it, we're going to go anyway, because we had already planned for this date. And then we took off without knowing whether or not we were going to be turning around if we got denied, or if we were going to be doing a complete 180.
Well, because I emailed, like, there was no cross-border travel at the time. And I emailed, the U.S. Coast Guard or Customs saying, hey, this is our plan. We're heading, to the Bahamas and onwards. And, like, can we pass through the States? And they didn't give me a yes or a no. They just said it depends on, like, it was very, like, okay. It's on the guard at the immigration to deal with kind of thing is what finally, if you read through the fine print.
No, it was like a read between the lines.
Yeah.
Let you pass, but just keep it to yourself type of thing.
Yeah, more or less. It's kind of what I got from it. But yeah, then we just took off. And then it started.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Crazy.
So what did you do? You just took off out the lakes. You eventually ended up in like New York, I imagine. And then you cruised down the coast to the Bahamas.
Yep, we did the entire East Coast. It took us 3 months to get down to the Bahamas.
So how much of no clue we had was when I said, hey, how long is it going to take us to get to the Bahamas? 3 weeks. Don't worry. 3 weeks. Yeah. We'll be there.
3 weeks.
Oh, we'll be there in 3 weeks.
three and a half.
You just probably planned like 7 knots for like 3 weeks so you'll get to the Bahamas.
To be honest, I didn't plan a single bit. I think I was reading powerboat forms.
Okay. Like a 400 horsepower motorboat.
We go 20 knots every day, 10 hours, 20 knots, no worries. 247 nautical miles. I'm like, oh, we make about 80 miles a day.
Yeah, so let's just say there was a steep learning curve.
So at what point of the trip did you actually learn how to sail the boat?
We took it a little bit out in the summer because we stayed in the winter in Toronto on the boat. It was all wrapped up, couldn't move it. And then spring came, spring and summer. And then we just took it like in and around the Toronto. Like we never went far. We did one trip that was like, we did a 5-day trip, which that was our biggest learning. Because we actually got into some pretty serious winds for us. And there was a bit of learning, but still, like...
Lake sailing was very different now that we've kind of...
Lake sailing, yeah. Well, lake sailing, it's kind of like... Not quite like here, but it is because the majority of the waves come from the wind. And they're usually shorter and choppier instead of like in the ocean where it's bigger swells. So it was a bit more aggressive, but I didn't know still how to sail. And I knew how the sails got up, and I didn't know how to tune them or anything. So we were always massively heeled, like toe rail in the water. Like, this is terrifying. Like, our whole hope, like, I'm taking this thing where?
But we thought that's how it was supposed to be, because you're in a sailboat, heeled.
Because we're also passing all these people with that go out day sailing, and there's nothing on their boats. They're usually a little lighter, a little more sportier type boats on the lakes. So they're all, just totally heeled. Not reefing. It just lets balls to the wall kind of thing. So it's been a big learning curve of how to make the boat comfortable and still in the same conditions. Like, that's where I think all the learnings come in. But it's just been since we left, really. I'm still learning.
It's good, though, because obviously, like, you made a plan right from the beginning that you wanted to leave on that date. And you must be pretty determined people, because it's not easy to, like, I mean, save up the cash and then actually completely sack off your life and just head out for something you don't know. Like, it does take a lot of work and effort and commitment.
It takes a huge amount. Well, it's in the beginning, it's hard because you want to save money, but it's the dream isn't there. Like, it's not solidified yet. So it's hard for a lot of people to say, oh, well, I can spend that money and do that, because that's not, you don't have the boat yet. You don't have this, but for us, just putting a date on it of being like, we don't want to be saving for 10 years. We want to, like in the beginning, it was like less than 2 years. We want to be like, have a boat, save enough money to at least sail for 2 years.
The other thing was, we sold everything off because we weren't planning on leaving anything behind in Ontario because he was only there for work. So he knew he wasn't going back. And I knew that I wanted to move if I wasn't
wanted to leave anyway.
going on this adventure. So we had downsized everything, moved onto this boat, and there was no choice because otherwise we were going to be dock people because that was our home at that point. So once we bought the boat, it was like go time. We knew that everything was being put towards leaving, so we had to have a date. Otherwise, it would continue on and just press on, especially with the lockdowns and the lakes. If we didn't leave now, then we'd have another year, and then another year, and it just wasn't something we wanted to wait for.
Just like, and just like, yeah, I don't know your full backstory yet, but I think, you know, that's one thing is to really start saving your money and like structuring your entire life around saving money to make this dream happen, to where you can't go hang out with your friends, or you can't go do this certain thing because it's going to take money, and you're just, but you have a bigger goal and a bigger adventure. But now I don't know where I was going with that. Anyways,
saving money. Saving money was
saving money, buying the boat, putting a date on it is a big thing. Oh, sorry. The next hardest thing we ran into was actually leaving, because now you're leaving the safety and security of what you've built. Like for us, it was our careers. To leave that was like, wow, okay. We're leaving good incomes and security. And I think, you know, a lot of people get struck with that. If they have a plan to set off the dock and go, they go, you know, they just, the excuses become too heavy, and then it's, like, it was actually really hard for us to say, okay, but I think the whole plan, the whole thing that COVID was there, and we kind of were humming along, like, can we even get across the border? Can we not? And then what did really help was, screw it. Let's just go and see if we can get through the border. And if it's a, if they did let us across, then that's it. That's the mind made up and everything. But I would say that was the next, like, most difficult thing is to, like,
well, the thing is, it goes against like everything that you've ever been taught about being an adult, really. You know, do you know what I mean? Like from a kid, you're always taught like you get a job, responsible, save, so you can get a house. And it's like doing what you're doing literally breaks every single rule that you've been taught. You know, these are the things you have to do when you grow up. So it's
it was
contrary to everything you've been known. Yeah.
But I do think this is the nomadic lifestyle is a massive thing because homes become too, it just doesn't make sense for a lot of people to try to accomplish all those things to then maybe be too old to ever get out. It's like for Canada, to buy a home, it's insanely expensive. Like,
yeah.
A place
Vancouver,
the size of our boat,
so
oh, yeah.
expensive.
Like, a place the size of this boat cost me almost $1 million. Like, so, you know, and that's not a forever home. So, what, you take $1 million mortgage out for something that you're going to want to remortgage in a few years?
Yeah, it does.
And then,
we've got some crew on the boat at the moment from Australia. And we're like, we're having a conversation about it last night. And it's like the idea of the normal way of life is something that comes from your parents and your grandparents. It's like not even achievable for people our age anymore. Like, forget people like younger than us. Like, how on earth now can you like leave university, get a normal job and make a plan to get like a house that's like $1.5 million? Like, right. It's just fairy tale stuff. You know what I mean? Like, there's no point even thinking about it.
No, for me, it was just being a slave to my mortgage.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
What it is,
that's what most people's lives are.
Yeah. And it's like, I know this, and I just, that for us, that wasn't appealing. And, you know, and I think life's meant to be lived. And
it depends what you want.
Like, obviously, you know, we're taking the other sort of unknown areas. Like, well, what are we going to do when we're older? You know what I mean? Like, am I going to be 80 all busted up, you know, living on a dime kind of thing? So that's the whole other thing where you're like,
Well, like, so Travis, it's probably easier for you because you're a bit more of like an adventurer in a way with like the outdoor activities. But like Steph, you were like fully invested and committed to like the career and the like the 9-to-5 stuff. You had all those goals laid out.
Yeah. So it was pretty far. It seemed really far fetched from, you know, the views of my family, my friends. They're just like, what? Like, you're not an outdoorsy person. You've never been that type of person. Yes, traveling, this and that, but you go back to your regular life. And I think what changed the views of a lot of people was when they weren't able to go anywhere. And they couldn't do what they wanted to do. And then all of a sudden, everybody's perceptions changed. And all of a sudden it became, oh, you're so lucky to be doing that. Like, I envy where you're going or what you're doing and the fact that you can actually make this change. Because a lot of people don't have the courage to be able to make that change because they're scared. You don't know. And we were scared. We had no idea. We still have no idea what's, you know, where we're going to be tomorrow, where we're going to be next week, let alone a few years from now or 10 years from now. But I think for me, it was more about enjoying my everyday. And that's what superseded it all, because I did not enjoy waking up in the morning knowing that I had to do something I didn't enjoy doing on a regular basis, only to look forward to my Saturdays and Sundays. So that was kind of what I took above all else. And I think a lot of people understand that now, and people have come around to really realizing that, wow, maybe that, you know, that isn't something to think is so far-fetched or outrageous.
Yeah. I think COVID definitely like switched that in a lot of people's heads. Cause it's like,
yeah.
I mean, what, you have to go back to the Second World War to reach a point in time where like the government was saying you're not allowed to leave your house. So like,
right, yeah.
That, yeah, yeah, really. Like that's we had a plan to go cruising that was like, you know, 10 years, we were gonna save like $1 million and get this amazing boat. And it's like, as soon as they said, oh, you can't take your dog for a walk now, you're not allowed to go to the house, you can't take your kid to nursery. I was like, all right, done with that. No, we're having another plan in place now. So yeah, I don't fancy living by those rules. So it changed for a lot of people. A lot of people started cruising like after COVID or during COVID because they felt like they needed to escape.
Well, I think most people we met in the Caribbean were the same thing. Oh, we left. We just sold everything and left. Like everyone we met was, they were just kind of on that same sort of path and just needed a good change, a big change, and never had any experience and just bought a boat and left kind of thing.
A lot of families too, because we didn't think there were going to be as many kids as we saw, but there were tons of family because they were like, yep, took the kids, we're going to homeschool them, and we left.
So, you know, there is some light, you know, with the whole COVID thing, right? It just totally gave that boot to a lot of people that have maybe a thought about it and they go, well, screw it, like, can't do anything here, let's go try this. And as well, like a lot of people started working from home, so that helped as well, you know, because then maybe they can work abroad. So
what did you guys do when you quit and then you got the boat and then you quit your jobs, did you have like a plan for finances? Because you do YouTube, so like you'll make some money for that. But like, was that something that you were like factoring in, or were you thinking you might have to get remote jobs or what?
Yeah, so our whole plan was, with the 18 months, we looked at all our finances to see how much we could save, how much we could spend on a boat, and how much we thought that monthly expenses were going to be, because this guy had me watching these YouTube videos and people are living very frugally and we're going to live off the sea and catch our own food and all of that.
I was watching some French channel. Oh, we live off $500 a month.
So that's what he told me it was going to be.
I'm like, okay, if we just bump it up, say we're not quite $500 a month, but let's just say $1,000 a month. I'm like, we can live with it.
Yeah.
Still way off from what I counted.
Right, but okay. We did look at...
Damn you, YouTubers.
So we did look at how much we thought we were going to have after we, you know, pooled all our income for the months that we had saved, after buying the boat, we did this budget, yada, yada, yada. Then we looked at, okay, we might be able to cruise making no money for a few years. And if at that time we can kind of gauge if it's for us or if it's not, and we want to change. But we're not the type of people to run it all down. Like, we're not going to run down our bank accounts and go, okay, we're completely out of money. Well, what are we going to do now? We knew that if we made no money, we would hope that YouTube would have helped generate some money for us, which it did, fortunately. But our whole thing was we would make it work. Like, we would go find work if we needed to, but we felt comfortable in leaving to be able to cruise for a period of time long enough to determine if we liked it or not.
Yeah. Like, we figured, maybe, you know, if we can't make any money in 2 years of doing this, being a digital nomad, then let's start thinking about other things because we're obviously not good at it.
And then it started helping. Yeah, so you had like a kitty ready to go anyway, and you were like, "Oh, we'll figure it out as we go along." In a way,
yeah, it was for roughly 2 years. We thought living cheaply.
Which seems to be kind of the average of a lot of people that we've met. A lot of cruisers that we've met that left around the same time we did have sold their boats already, and it's kind of the average of 2 years, cruise for a bit.
2 to 5 years, I think, is the majority of people who go cruising. But I think when you do, you know, social media and an influencer, you know, that's going to extend it, obviously. That's going to help.
If you can make some money, not everybody.
Money enough money.
But we also live very cheaply.
We try to live very cheaply.
How cheap? Boating is very hard. Here's an example of how cheap this living is.
Let's just say he'll hum and haw for parts, tools, things that are, like, not expensive, but it's the whole space on the boat, so I'm not going to buy it until I really, really need it. He'll make it work. He's like the king of MacGyvering. So if he doesn't need something, it doesn't matter if it's under $10 or $100.
Well, even if we do go and eat, it's like, okay, yeah, we'll go and eat today. And it's, you know, well, this looks good. This is good. Well, a pizza feeds us both. So what's going to pizza?
Like, yeah, that's just sensible.
Right? So just like, I don't know, everything that we can try to save a buck or something, we'll be cheap on it. But yeah, you can never say how much you spend. Like, we get that, the question we get asked a lot is, how much do you guys spend every month? And it is impossible to say. Sometimes we spend $500 a month. Sometimes we spend $5,000 a month. Like, it literally depends on
what happens that month.
What happens. Like, does the boat, like, demand needs?
Like maintenance on the boat and stuff. I was going to say, one of the biggest differences you might notice in coming into the Med is, like, it's just an absolute non-guarantee that you can actually sail anywhere whenever you want to.
Yeah.
So we've learned that Med stands for motor every day, or we call it the Motoranian. So fuel has been a big one here, whereas fuel was not an issue in the Caribbean for us. That was one of our lower expenses. We hardly ever filled up. So our main expenses were on groceries. But here, we've been spending on fuel, but at the same time, we also try to anchor. So I was going to mention, like, we don't go to marinas ever until we're forced to or have no choice. Just been on this side of the pond, but other than that, we don't pay for those sort of fees if we can live.
Yeah, so like where I've found where it's easy to live cheap on a boat is the Caribbean.
100%.
You can anchor, you know, 365 days of the year. So you're not spending any money there. There's not a lot of, like, really super cool places, like restaurants you really want to go see. So you know, you're going to eat at home a lot more and make your own meals taste a lot nicer. And you can go fishing, spear fishing too. You can find food that way. But yeah, I did know coming to this side of the pond, like, we would have to figure a marina out for the winter. You might have to take a dock in some of these, like, places that we go. So it was a bit scary coming across, knowing that we'd be taking on potentially a bigger expense, which we have. So,
but at the same time, we always said that we wanted to go as far as we could within a certain amount of time, because we didn't want to. That's kind of why we moved so quickly as well, because we want to see as much as we can.
Trying to make that money just stretch as long as you can, and if you can get, you know, if we end up getting all around the world, then the next time we go, we'll slow it down, you know. And then enjoy the places that we might have boogied on through. Like, for her and I, I think if we're sitting anywhere longer than 3 days, I get antsy. I'm like, time to go.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I like looking at something, but yeah, when it's like the same mountain for like a weekend, I'm like, okay, next place. Like, let's go check somewhere else out.
Yeah. So in what we're doing, you know, our lifestyle, I think that's perfect. It's a good amount of time to hang out, see it, and then let's go. But when we get stuck in an anchorage like we are here for the last week.
Yeah, I'm really bored of Sardinia at the moment. Can't we get out already?
We haven't, we've been to land once. We've been here in
it was just to get groceries for this. We knew that flow was coming.
That's literally the only thing I've been to land for, like, was pizza, beer, and then I just took the crew to go and get more food, which is pizza and beer, basically. So, like, yeah, that's the only thing I'm going to land for at the moment.
Well, when you get to...
Oh, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, well, when you get to the Balearics, it's pizza and sangria. Oh, you can find,
pizza,
like,
and sangria.
A liter of sangria for, like, anywhere from, like, 12 bucks, 12 euros, but it's so cheap for a liter of sangria.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Well, you can get it bottled as well, which is actually quite nice, which my wife drinks a lot. She actually really likes that. So like in the evening, we'll sit down, like we'll like, you know, put something on the TV and she'll just like drink this bottled sangria. She loves it.
Nice. Is it the red?
Yeah, the red one.
Yeah, we're a white sangria people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a light red, makes us really sleepy.
Yeah,
white.
Yeah,
like
she has
a good,
like a dark red one.
Yeah, dark. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just go.
Pass straight out. It's like me. I was having a conversation with the guys earlier. We were like, okay, what booze should we get for the next couple of weeks? And I was like, whatever you do, do not get me red wine, because I get drunk off one. I can drink like 20 beers. I can have a liter of vodka, but if I have one glass of red wine, I'm shit-faced. I don't understand how it works. And they were like, okay, we'll get you some red wine. I was like, all right, that's actually going to save me a bit of money. So it's a good idea. Fair enough. So what made you want to like cross oceans? Because, you know, like sailing down the coast is, I suppose it can be a bit challenging, but it's nowhere near as daunting as like doing a Northern Atlantic crossing. So that was a pretty ballsy move.
Well, the East Coast definitely sucked. I really didn't like sailing the East Coast. One, because I didn't understand conditions. I just understood if the wind was in my favor or not. I didn't understand currents. I didn't understand like anything, really. I just said, oh, I know I can sail that direction. Let's go. And we got our asses handed to us because I didn't think the Gulf Stream ran all the way up the East Coast. So we would always take a northerly down, and that's wind against tide, and we always just got smashed. It became a lot of rough sailing. But doing the Caribbean, in my opinion, it's really easy. You know the wind's coming from one basic direction, you know, east of some sort. And there's no real currents or tides. So there's not a lot of planning that has to go involved. You just have to look if you want to sail in 20 knots of wind or you want to sail in 15 knots of wind that day kind of thing. So, and then we met a world cruiser before, and you know, this when we started talking, like, yeah, I'd love to go see Northern Europe, Ireland and everything like that. And his advice was, have you done an overnighter? And we said, yeah, we've done like a 31 hour.
Was the most we had done because we got pushed out on the East Coast. So it wasn't really by choice, but we had rough sails before, so we're like,
but
okay.
I took his words because he's like, have you done an overnighter? And I said, yeah. He's like, it's just that over and over again. So
on repeat.
Yeah, I said, oh, I guess so. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, and after like, you know, 5 or 6 days, you'll get your sea legs, and then that's really when it just starts to feel more normal. And I was like, yeah, it makes sense. It's just day in, day out. And as long as you know your boat, like, and I work on the boat constantly. Like, I think boating to me is just preventative maintenance. Like,
yeah, yeah.
As long as you're constantly on it, knowing, you know, what your systems are and how good they are, then I think you'll feel a lot more confident about going on a big adventure. Crossing an
ocean.
Yeah,
definitely.
You know, then kind of neglecting a lot of things in a boat, going, maybe it'll be okay. Then, yeah, obviously you're going to have a lot of doubt, but constantly being on your boat every day helps you understand your systems and feel more confident.
So to feel comfortable on our boat, having been on it, you know, 24/7, having had some uncomfortable passages, we felt like it was doable. Like, it wasn't scary. It was more exciting because we knew we wanted to see new places. Because I personally had never gone to Europe before or the UK. Like, so it was just something that I always wanted to do. And I don't know, it just wasn't scary. I thought it might be, because before leaving, I never thought that we were going to be crossing the Atlantic so soon. It might have been like a, one day, maybe we will. Let's see how it goes in the Caribbean. And then a year later, we were crossing, but it wasn't really a thought in my mind of it being scary.
The only thing scared to me was, I don't want to lose my autopilot, and I don't want anything happening to our water supply. That's like the two main concerns I actually have, is autopilot and water supply.
And the ability,
you know,
to check weather. Like, we knew we had the ability to check weather, so it wasn't as daunting.
And you just, you can, like, crossing an ocean is just planning for the next day of weather. Like, where do you want to be? Okay, I'm going to head this way, and that'll help me for the next day get through that and so forth. But to me, like, what made me really excited to cross the ocean was there's, like, a whole other bunch of learning to do on a boat out this way. Like, it is a totally different world. Like I said, the Caribbean, in my opinion, is pretty easy to hang out on a boat and be comfortable and learnable, which is perfect. But if you want to like broaden your skills, I think heading kind of where we went up and around the UK, Scotland, Faroe Islands, like there's a lot more weather planning and a lot more that goes involved into understanding, like to looking at mountain ranges and figuring out what the water's going to be like down there, or like looking at, I don't know the name, like topographies underneath the water and understanding what it's going to do, and just like so much more learning that could be had. And it just, I was really excited to get that sort of learning in. And there, you know, you get into a lot heavier winds up there. Like we always sail 20 plus knots of wind up in and around Ireland, Scotland.
Yeah, so. Definitely. I think as well, it's like, it definitely makes you a more competent sailor. So like, you know, coming into the Med or going back to the Caribbean, that would just seem pretty simple compared to like what we're dealing with in Scotland and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, that's actually now why now I'm excited to kind of go back to that area to see if it is what I thought it is.
Yeah, and, with more knowledge.
Yeah, and if it is sort of that same sort of lazy, chill vibe, then I'm going to be excited because I'd love to just enjoy that a little bit.
But then he'll change his mind shortly after.
Maybe a month and I'll be bored again and go, okay, well, let's...
let's go to the next place now.
Let's go on. Yeah. My problem
So you've like done a few locations since you crossed over. Like you've done, you came over, you went to like the UK, and now you've come into the Med. What have you enjoyed or not enjoyed any certain parts of it?
Yeah, for certain reasons. Do you want me to tell you our whole route that we've done? We started in Canada in the Great Lakes. We went out the canal system, which is a series of locks, which was fun to learn. And then we went down the entire East Coast to Florida, which was a lot of cool learning. And then we did from the Bahamas all the way down to Grenada. So I guess the Western Caribbean or the Eastern Caribbean. And then we turned around, came back, went to St. Martin, staged across to the Azores to Ireland. And then we went from Ireland to Scotland to the Faroes. And then turned around, went back to Scotland, and then did the west coast of the UK, the south coast of the UK, and then went over to the canal systems through the Netherlands, and then turned around and went up the east coast of the UK, and then did the Caledonian Canal, then through Scotland back to Belfast, Ireland. In, like, 2 years?
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot of moving.
It's a hell of a lot. Yeah. That's like a ridiculous amount of boat work.
then the whole west coast of Europe. The only place. Yeah. No, yeah, we've done the entire western European mainland, and now we're in the Med. Mm. And I would say the Med has been my least favorite.
From a sailing perspective, it's different.
For the comforts of being on a boat. Like, the land is super cool, the cultures, people, all of that is amazing. I don't ever feel comfortable leaving the boat in an anchorage full of hundreds of other people. Like,
hundreds of charter boats.
Don't know how to anchor or don't care how to anchor. Yeah. And they always have a captain usually, too. Like, if it's not their own charter, it's just a guest on a chartered boat, then there's always a captain on the boat. So I try to find some comfort knowing that if anything happens, he's always going to be on the boat if I were to leave the boat. But still, from what I've seen, I'm not quite there yet. So it's just been the uncomfortability of just basic living on the boat makes me not enjoy the boat so far. And then there's not a lot of wind.
No, two really good points, actually. What about you, Steph? What have been your preferences and dislikes?
I do really enjoy the Caribbean because of the,
we love swimming.
Yeah, we like swimming.
Underwater life
and all of that. I do love Europe for all of the things that you miss when you're in the Caribbean.
Land stuff. Yeah.
So I think that Europe would be done better traveling by land, not having my home at the mercy of the busy anchorages and all of that. The accessibility, I guess, for cruisers isn't as much here. It seems like everything's kind of catered towards marinas and charters and that sort of thing, but love it because I like the warmer temperatures. So I really did enjoy the UK, Scotland, the Faroes were absolutely insane. But
if anyone could sail to the Faroes, you'd have to. It's such a a wild experience to sail there.
Living on a boat and leaving your home everywhere at all these places, I prefer the warmer climates.
Yeah, so you fight so many things living on a boat. Like, you always want to be in the best climate because that's what you're involved in every day. So that's basic living on a boat. But when it comes to everything outside of that, you want, you know, you want an easy access to get to land. You want a safe place to leave the boat.
But mind you, I do love bringing the home everywhere.
So oh, yeah,
although it has its challenges, I have really enjoyed having my home because the best part of this lifestyle for me is just having my own bed to go to every single night. I have all my stuff with me.
Yeah. That's actually something I never thought about before all this happened. I was just like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then I kind of came in and realized, like, because I used to be kind of a rough BMXer. I would sleep in ditches under skate park ramps. Like, it never bothered me. And then, you know, as you get older, you want a little bit more creature comforts. And then realizing, like, oh, yeah, you get to all these totally foreign places, but every night you get
still
to sleep
at home.
On your own. You're in my own sheets, my own bed, my own comforts. Mm. And it's like, it's just the best way to travel.
Yeah. You know, yeah, that's so really cool. So what's the plan? Like, what are you thinking? So, I mean, you've just been inside the Med for this season. Are you going to stay here over the winter? Or
we thought about
what are you going to do? You're going to head back to the Caribbean or what?
We thought about, you know, going all the way inside. I personally really want to go to Greece. That was on my bucket list in the Med. Yeah. But seeing the seasons, you know, the Schengen thing for us and all of that, it meant staying in a marina for 7 long cold months when we had just essentially left one after 5 months. I don't think I want to do that again. So I kind of want to chase summer. That's my whole thing.
Yeah, so like it came hand in hand with one, we want to keep in a good climate. We didn't want to go back into a winter sitting forever. And that's hard to create content when you're just sitting on a dock. You can only show so much, you know, boat maintenance.
You have to start doing the stripping on that pole.
Yeah. yeah, so we just kind of said, you know what? And we got a lot of boat work coming up too, like some more costly items, and we figured there's a lot of places in the Med that we found you can't haul out and do your own work. And I think some of the parts that we could find might be, if not the same, or a little bit cheaper in the Caribbean. So we just realized, yeah, we can continue moving. We'll be in perfect climate because the Caribbean in the wintertime was, I love it. It's phenomenal. It's comfortable. You can go swimming still, and it's just, anyways, I love it. So, and then we get all this boat work done, and then it just leaves us in another area of like, okay, now what are we going to do for the next hot season, summer? Because I want to stay in a perfect climate all year round. That's like what I'm starting to realize on a boat. Or really get our AC working.
Yeah, one of the two. No, it is. It's like, I suppose, like, Steph, what you were saying before, it's like you always want to chase summer. I think that's part of the attraction to it. Like, I've got a lot of friends who like sail in Scotland and like way northern latitudes and Greenland and stuff like that. It just does not appeal to me at all because it's like the, you know, the best part of the year is the summer where you can be outside and doing all your outdoor activities and you don't need to wear loads of layers.
Yeah,
it's the nice part about it, I think.
Like an overnight passage up north sucked always.
Yeah, yeah, big time. Freezing and wet.
You're freezing and just cold or damp and you're like, yeah, find that heat. But I like North Atlantic. I eventually, one day I would love to just spend a lot of time and just cruise northern latitudes. Because I think it's a lot prettier. I'm really drawn to mountains. I love the views and I like doing photography. And I find I'm more attracted to that sort of landscapes. But yeah, then it makes living on the boat. So I pretty much need a 55-foot aluminum insulated boat with perfect heating where I can run a generator all day long and just keep the boat at perfect temperature. You know, and then
you just
I
need
also
about
need
$3 million and then you go.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That was a thing for, you know, stay in the Caribbean for the winter where the climate is absolutely perfect. And then during hurricane season, fly out to anywhere else in the world you want to go, you know, during the summer, fall time. But that's not in the Cruising Kitty yet.
Yeah.
To do that. So until then, we'll just have to keep moving and figuring out where to go for the next season. But part of that means getting to go to all these places that I never thought that I would have ever went. Like crossing the Atlantic was one thing, but I personally never thought I was going to go to Ireland or Scotland. It just kind of wasn't on my list.
No, yeah, that's the best part about doing this. Like, you're not making huge jumps, you know. You don't have to. You'll make, a 10 to 14 hour cruise, and then you'll stop somewhere. And then you get to see this town that you would never travel to. And some of my most favorite places have been places I didn't even know existed. So it's another reason why I love this lifestyle.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, listen, good luck with that sail back, the crossing back. You've not been here very long, but, you know, there's two Atlantic crossings, pretty short space apart from each other. So, cool. Good luck with that. And thanks for giving us the time.
Yeah, we can talk forever.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Cheers, thanks for having us.